Just days after President Trump was inaugurated, he sat down with the heads of the big three auto manufacturers, urging them to build more cars here in the United States. Now, outsourcing is just one problem facing auto workers. Many of them point to automation as a bigger threat and, of course, good old-fashioned supply and demand. The most recent numbers coming from automakers yesterday point to a decline in sales, the first decline after seven straight years of growth. Trump's message is still powerful, and it resonated with auto workers who helped him win in Michigan. WDET's Quinn Kleinfelter has more.
In the heat of the presidential campaign last year, then-candidate Donald Trump made a vow that still echoes among car companies and the auto workers who eventually helped propel him into the Oval Office. Trump said if the Ford Motor Company made good on plans to open a new factory in Mexico, he, as president, would impose as much as a 35% tax on any products made south of the border but sold in the U.S.
Within 24 to 48 hours, I will get a call from the head of Ford, and he will say, Mr. President, we have decided that we will build our new plant in the United States.
Trump's timetable was a bit off, but Trump did get that call from the head of Ford.
I called him before we made the decision to inform him that we were doing that, and I, have a dialogue with him.
Bill Ford Jr. chairs the motor company that bears his family's name. He says market forces drove Ford to scrap a facility planned in Mexico while adding jobs in Michigan, not pressure from the president.
Not at all. I mean, look, we made our own decision. We have to make our own decisions. We have to do what's right for our shareholders, and we will. But he's obviously very interested in jobs in America, and that's great. And so I'm happy to have the relationship I do with him.
Yet Trump took credit for Ford and other automakers adding new jobs in the U.S., whether or not the companies already had those plans in the works.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Happy New Year.
And that message resonated among blue-collar workers here in Michigan's Macomb County, a part of the Detroit metropolitan region, where voters tipped the state towards Trump and, in a very real way, helped propel him into the White House.
You know, all these job shops, when I was a kid, they were thriving.
In the parking lot of a convenience store, painter Lou Sacco looks grimly at a sales slip, noting that the economy has grown increasingly tight for many in Macomb County. He says the area depended on auto jobs that simply are not there anymore.
Now, you know, these American parts are made in other countries, and I just don't see that coming back.
But he says he applauds Trump for trying.
I think if anybody can, it's Trump. You know, I think he will make an effort to bring some of the companies back.
A bit further down the parking lot, Fiat Chrysler worker Elsie Martinez gives Trump and his push to bring auto jobs back to the U.S. a big league thumbs up.
I love it. I love it. Americans, we shop here. We do our jobs here. We need to keep our money here. We can't compete with people that can work for a dollar a day.
But experts say traditional auto workers don't simply face competition from their low-cost counterparts in other countries. They're being challenged by something increasingly present in their own home factories, robots and other automation.
At its peak in June of 2000, Michigan's auto industry employed 333,000 workers, 29% of the nation's 1.2 million auto jobs. By 2015, that number of auto jobs had dropped to less than half of the peak. President Trump vowed to bring back those auto jobs to the United States and to make Michigan, in particular, the manufacturing hub of the entire globe. Some analysts question if today's auto workers will be ready for an increasingly technological future, however. In part two of this report, WDET's Quinn Kleinfelter talks with auto workers whose traditional assembly line jobs are losing ground to automation.
Even before officially taking charge of the Oval Office, President-elect Trump maintained a Twitter barrage citing plans from Ford and Fiat Chrysler to invest millions of dollars and create thousands of jobs in Michigan and Ohio as proof that his brand of tough economic love is working.
The word is now out that when you want to move your plant to Mexico or some other place, and you want to fire all of your workers from Michigan and Ohio and all these places that I won, it's not going to happen that way anymore.
But Mexico's economy minister says don't blame his country. Ildefonso Guajardo recently told Detroit business executives he was ready to negotiate revising the North American Free Trade Agreement with President Trump, with the understanding that it's automation, not Mexico, that U.S. auto workers truly must deal with.
Fighting for 700 jobs will not make a difference. It's how we are going to readapt, redesign our training process to face together the challenges of the technological revolution.
For the head of the United Auto Workers Union, that means one thing.
Robots, right?
We are the robots.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
UAW President Dennis Williams says U.S. auto workers are in something of a battle against the R2-D2s of the car world and in need of a national industrial policy that helps employees learn new skills.
That's why education has to get back to not only the academic part of education, but also the vocational and the apprenticeship part. You got to have a skill level in a country to maintain industrial bases and technology.
The auto industry of the future is on display at an educational event hosted by the group Junior Achievement of Southeastern Michigan. Hundreds of high schoolers filter between exhibits featuring car companies and recruiters touting jobs they say pay auto workers well, if not exactly CEO-level salaries.
Does it pay good? Are they all driving Ferraris? No, because they work at GM. Why would they drive Ferraris?
But building these high-tech car parts being shown off demands that workers know something about advanced technology. The director of engineering for global car interior design company Forcia, Elizabeth Griffith, says the days of assembly line workers making part after part are rapidly dwindling. Robots, she says, work faster and more efficiently without requiring vacations or sick days.
So you will not have the huge workforce that we've had in the past. Technology has moved on. With autonomous vehicles and everything else going on, you will not have that luxury in the future, okay, because you just can't.
Griffith says her company actually fostered some apprenticeship programs to try and create the kind of skilled workforce it needs. But she says convincing auto workers to adapt to the new normal of manufacturing can be a tough sell, even in her own household.
I come from a blue-collar family. I grew up in Detroit. My dad worked in the automotive industry. My brother works in the automotive industry currently, UAW. I'm married to a UAW member. So it's very controversial sometimes in our family. But you have to look at, are they willing to be retrained? And a lot of cases, they will flat out tell you, no, I can't do that.
Yet, it's a reality workers contend with daily back in Macomb County, a part of the Detroit metropolitan region, at factories like this Chrysler assembly plant in the city of Warren. It's shift change at the plant, and 18-year veteran maintenance worker Mike Nicholson says he's sure his job will be there when he returns the next day, robots or not.
People on the line get replaced with robots, but they can't really replace maintenance guys with robots. So, yeah, it's unfortunate for who if you're on the line.
For worker Christopher Cavaretta, increased automation actually provides an opportunity. There's even a term for it, cobots, humans working side by metallic side with robots.
Well, you just got to get the right knowledge to learn how to work the robots, then you'll be fine, right? but that could be a problem for people, you know, the working class. Well, I'm fine because I got multiple streams of income. I do real estate, too, so.
But auto workers like 23-year-old Frederick Miller say the assembly plant offers a decent, if physical, job for now.
I think it's not for everybody. Yeah, we had a guy go to the emergency for some of the jobs here. It's not for me, not for the rest of my life. I think I can do something better than this. I'm still young.
The U.S. auto industry has proven extremely resilient, posting record profits only a few years after two of Detroit's big three automakers required a federal financial bailout to stay afloat. But the question remains whether the auto workers of today will seek the new skills necessary to remain relevant in the company's increasingly automated future, or if they will look elsewhere as the auto jobs of the past continue to fade away. For The Takeaway, I'm Quinn Kleinfelter in Detroit.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.